This podcast is brought to you by Steed Motor Group Claregalway. For your personalised vehicle shopping experience, find out more at steedmotorgroup.ie.
So delighted now to be joined by former Leitrim footballer Emily Mulligan and former Galway footballer Barry Cullinan to look back on Galway's 4-point victory over Leitrim in the FBD League semi-final that was played on Friday night in the Dome. That means Galway now play Roscommon in the FBD League final. Emlyn, coming to you first, if we look at it first, the game was obviously played in the Dome. Do you regret not getting to play in the Dome in the FBD?
Well, just to cut across there, I did play in the Dome in the FBD.
Oh, did you? Sorry.
I did 2 years ago. 2 years ago, I played. I started actually the first game. We played against Sligo. And I'll be honest with you, I couldn't walk. It was the start of me, and it was nearly the end of me. I couldn't walk for 6 or 7 weeks after. My Achilles, my calves, my bad knees, everything just flared up on me. It's probably the biggest regret. But no, listen, I have played on it. Yeah, listen, it's a great spot to play. Sure, listen, I suppose this time of year, especially the weather is well, especially where the Dome is situated. There's always a bad wind or bad breeze or that sort of, you know, in terms of conditions. But yeah, the Dome is, you know, for fast football, and obviously that showed in the scoreline. And it was a high-scoring game, but again, it's very hard to read into it because come 2-3 weeks, when the likes of Leitrim players will be heading out to likes of Waterford or that, you know, conditions are going to be totally different, and it was very hard to read fully into it. But so I did. I have played in the Dome.
Sack, you're going to have to sack your researcher, Paul.
Yeah.
Yeah. I have to sack myself. So, just on that, Emlyn, because I was actually talking with Morris Brosnan. We were talking about FBD being played in the Dome, and you make a great point there. Conditions in 2 or 3 weeks are basically going to be brutal for most teams across the country unless they're playing in Croke Park. Does it serve any purpose playing in the Dome because you're going to be playing in worse conditions in 2 or 3 weeks?
Yeah, like you see both sides of it. As you said, maybe preparation out on the pitch, a normal pitch at home or wherever it may be, might be better preparation. But I'm sure Barry alluded, there's, you know, teams are playing challenge matches around the country at this stage of the year. You know, I'm not sure, and the more than team Galway sent out there, I'm not sure it was a massive focus for a lot of teams anyway. You know, maybe for the likes of Leitrim probably would get more benefit out of it. But yeah, the Dome itself in terms of surface and that, playing, I think, when Ireland football, you know, it is a lot different in terms of what they're going to be meeting in 2 weeks' time. But it's a game, it's a competitive game. I suppose it's a good game for breeding in young lads. But in terms of what's ahead of them in 2 weeks, is going to be a totally different challenge.
What do you make, Barry, of the FBD games, FBD League games semi-finals being played in the Dome?
There's a couple of points on it. I suppose, first of all, the fact that it's... muting myself. First of all, the fact that it's a centralised venue, I think, helps the situation in that on a Friday evening in the middle of winter, Galway don't have to travel to Leitrim or Leitrim don't have to travel to Galway. And, you know, the same with all the other counties. I think it's a bit unrealistic. It's a brilliant venue and it's a brilliant facility to have in Connacht and it's brilliant for schools and all that sort of stuff. But there is an unrealistic aspect to playing the game in the Dome, and it does play a lot faster than, you know, then we see traditional pitch-based games, and that lends to fairly high-scoring games because teams really find it difficult to get that defensive structure and shape as quick as the game evolves. I think the centralised aspect of it is very good. It's very difficult because of the weather, but if they could maybe look at, first and foremost, having, you know, a sand-based pitch outside under lights as their first choice, and then if the weather becomes inclement or goes against them, then they have the option of moving into the Dome. I think that might suit teams better because as Emily said, all teams are playing challenge matches and getting used to the games, but you know they're trying to make this as realistic as possible, and the Dome doesn't lend itself to that. But that's not being negative on the facility. It's a brilliant one to have. Overall, I think the FPD has been good for some, you know, I think there's a clamour to get rid of these competitions, but I think some of them do serve a purpose, and I think Galway took a fair bit out of it on Friday evening.
Just before we get in and look at the game, for both of you, but Barry, did you enjoy playing in the FBD?
Yeah, I loved it because we, when we won, you got a trip to New York out of it. So there was a stage you went and played New York. I remember one year we won the FBD, but we were also playing New York in the championship. So, and we had won the FBD the year before. So we actually traveled to New York in January to play New York, or I'm not sure the dates now, went to New York to play a championship. And went to New York again the following winter because we'd won the FPD. It was a great year. So overall, it was good. For the likes of myself, who probably never wintered overly well, they weren't the most. A lot of them weren't the most enjoyable of games. And sometimes you might have been better off maybe tweaking a hammer or something before some of them. But anyway, they were enjoyable. And like I had go one of my first. If you could say intercounty games, I played for NUIG against Mayo in one of the first times the colleges were involved in the FBD. So yeah, that was enjoyable. But yeah, overall, good memories from it. And there probably wasn't the experimental nature of it back then as there is now. So it was a little bit more competitive. But as I said, yeah, always nice to win it with the carrot of that trip away.
For a while there, Emlyn, you were having a good run at the FBD. When you look back on your career, do you value the FBD League medals?
Yeah, like it's something, I suppose, this, and we're operating at a different, I suppose, level in terms of top teams like Mayo and Galway and even Roscommon at that. And I suppose this, I was lucky enough to captain two of them. You know, Leitrim, I suppose, have only, I think, won four cups, four trophies in their whole career. I think it was an All-Ireland B, then 94 in Connacht, and then two FBD Leagues, you know. So when you do look back at them, you probably would now, especially. But, you know, I was lucky to win one in college drill in Sligo IT. We won it in 2007, I think 2007 as well. So, listen, it was a great. I enjoyed playing it again. I got a lot out of it. It was probably our best opportunity to take a scalp of a Mayo or a Galway or a Roscommon. Unfortunately, that was never going to probably potentially happen in a Connacht Championship. So that gave us little bits of belief in the year, them 2 years we did win in Leitrim. We did beat all them three teams. So, like, it obviously gave you confidence. But to show in terms of the importance of it, you know, we won that the first year, I think it was 13, having bet Mayo and Galway and Roscommon in it. And then we went down the first round of the National League and were bet by Limerick, you know. So, you have to weigh up, you know, while there's an importance to it, getting lads ready, you know, the National League is it's a completely different ball game, you know, and it's obviously the bigger teams use it a lot more to experiment. And back in the day, Leitrim probably would have put out a full 15 a lot of the time just to get that confidence up. But yeah, listen, I valued it. I enjoyed playing it, and I was always proud. Them 2 days we won it. If you look back, the highlights of RTÉ and all like that, the news there, like, you know, it was huge for the county because at the end of the day, we've won very, very little over the last 20, 30 years. So yeah, we got a lot out of it. Our supporters did as well. But yeah, unfortunately, it never really developed into anything real bigger.
You would have played against each other quite a bit, lads. Is it fair to say?
Possibly not. I actually tried my career for Leitrim. Barry, I don't know what would have been. I played Galway 2008 in the semi-final, I think it was. And then that's the only time I've ever played against Galway in championship, I
Okay.
think. Every other year, it was either Mayo, Roscommon, or Sligo. The way in 2015, I took a year out and I played Galway. And other than that's only the one time I ever played against Galway in championship. FBD was the only time I would have played against Galway.
I think as our hairlines suggest, I've a few years on Emlyn. I'm 40 next year, so I was probably coming towards the end of my fairly short career as he was starting his glittering career. But even on Leitrim, like we had some great battles prior to Emlyn coming on the scene with Leitrim. And I always feel in Galway and Paul, this is before you were you certainly before you were born, Emlyn. I'm
Yeah.
not sure about you, but like there's always a real warmth from Galway towards Leitrim football. Obviously, we have the John O'Mahony connection, you know, what he did with Leitrim and then came to Galway. But like around that 94, 95, 96 time, like Galway struggled against Leitrim and Leitrim were the better team and they were producing footballers, the likes of Seamus Quinn and Declan D'Arcy, Mickey Quinn, all these lads that were some of the top footballers in the game. And you know, I think that harbours that kind of I'm not going to say a love, but a kind of a warmth from Galway supporters towards Leitrim football, where we mightn't have that with some other of our nearest and dearest neighbours.
Not talking about any county in
Not at
particular
all. West Meath or
there.
something like that. But.
On the game, lads, a question that kept coming in from a lot of listeners was, what did we make of Galway playing the development panel? They did play a couple of lads from the seniors, but a couple of lads from the seniors have either returned or are either trying to make their breakthrough. But for you, Emlyn, did that annoy you when you seen Galway play the development panel? Because obviously you want to see Leitrim up against the best Galway team, obviously, and see where they're at. But did it annoy you, or can you see what Galway are trying to do as well?
Yeah, when I seen the team name, no, it wouldn't annoy me, to be honest. I understand the pick Galway to have, and I think we just spoke off earlier, like the amount of teams coming through Galway in the last 10 years from minors 20s, you know, like when do these lads ever get a chance? You know, and Galway is such a strong probably base there are 20 lads at the minute, it's very hard to break into that. So poor choice has to see that and obviously has to, you know, some way make some arrangements for these lads to get game time. Obviously, Leitrim are in the position that probably the set more of a set of squad trying to bring in a couple of new lads throughout the year, and you can see the balance then. Obviously, inevitably, Galway did start with that. I suppose a team that I wouldn't have I'd have recognised very few names on it. Obviously, now when you're getting older and that there's younger generation coming through, you just wouldn't be as familiar. But I don't think it's any way disrespectful or that. It's just the way it worked out. I think, in a Leitrim point of view, they'd probably be disappointed looking at it that they didn't get a win. I think, you know, but then the other side of it is Galway last year in FAD played a reasonable enough team against Leitrim. Like, you know, Robert Finnerty and a few other lads played, and they beat Leitrim by 17, 18 points. So, again, which do you take more from? You know, being competitive and, you know, coming close to winning that game against a so-called second or third string Galway, or playing a full strength Galway team who are absolutely going to beat us out the gate, you know. So it just depends what you take out of it. Mentally, every player is obviously different mindset, and I suppose Andy's going to probably try and look as many positives as he can. But I do still think it was important that Leitrim would have got a win against that team. It's just to beat any Galway team, you know. At the end of the day, when you look at records, it'll always just show Leitrim by Galway. It's not going to show the team as such. And I think just for confidence going into the league, it could have helped, especially coming off the basis of the last year losing to New York and not having a good run in the Tailteann Cup. I think it would have been important just to get a victory, especially when they got it back to a draw that they could have maybe, you know, potentially pushed on. In terms of Galway, fair play. I heard I wasn't at the game. Chatted a couple of lads that were involved in the game. A lot of good reports coming back from a lot of the young Galway couplers, especially a couple of the forwards and that, you know. So promising for Paddy Joyce if he can unearth one or two from that panel or that team that played. I'm sure it'll be a successful day out, and again, another opportunity now against Roscommon in the final.
Yeah, so during the off season there, obviously, Finian Hanley, Jeremy Blake, Joe Bergen, and Declan Meehan, and Donal O'Farrell have all been, and Johnny Ryan have all been working away with this development panel. It's important though, as Emlyn says there, there is a lot of these players that probably aren't going to be involved with the seniors maybe this year, but even in a year or two, they could possibly get their chance. So it was an important run out for a lot of these players, Barry.
Yeah, I suppose it varies in terms of player to player, and I think, you know, that's it's a brilliant initiative by Pádraig to have those guys involved with the development panel, because obviously the guys you mentioned in terms of what they did playing, you know, those players will have huge respect for that. And then I think the real cog in it is Donal O'Flaherty, and that link between what he did of minors and 20s and the amount of players and what he did for Galway football to that he's now there as that kind of conduit between them coming out of minors 20s and trying to break into a senior panel, and he'll know them very, very well. But they all have ambition and they're all looking to try and break into it. And what it does is that the guys that went to meet on Saturday and maybe carrying a bit of a niggle and, you know, maybe not showing huge form, they're looking over their shoulder now saying, you know, Galway go to Roscommon. Hypothetically, Pádraig puts out the same team and one or two of them show up really well. You know, Anthony O'Leary puts himself back in the shot picture. Someone
Who
like
puts
Joan.
themselves in the picture now for you from the weekend?
Well, Killian O'Corrin didn't really put himself in the picture. Like he's in the picture already. He's a brilliant talent. I think Anthony O'Leary is a guy that we saw what he did for Galway a couple of years ago when Kevin Walsh was there. And I think that at times, maybe if Galway need a little bit more invention, someone to open up a defence, I think he still has a huge amount to offer. I think Conor Flaherty I think he certainly, personally, I think it was good for Claregal. I think any goalie Claregal have ever produced has played at inter-county level. I saw Kyle Long came on for Conor Flaherty, but I think Conor can offer Galway a good bit. There's loads of them, like Rory Cunningham, two goals. I think Galway have lots and lots of really good footballers, but I think definitely Anthony O'Leary and Cillian O'Curry and Conor Flaherty. You're not going to see, for as much and all as the progress they're making and the performances that they've shown, you're not going to see an awful lot of them break through onto the senior panel, because there's just it's so hard now to kind of drill systems into players and get everything right tactically, that making wholesale changes in your fifth year as a management team doesn't really happen. So I think if you could bring two or three through, I think you'd be very happy with that. But and then on the, from them players, I know I'm going on a bit here, but for those players, I think the message he'll be given is that you'll get as much help as you can from our management team in terms of your development and S&C and all that. You've got to go back and perform for your clubs, and that'll be the real test of it. And if they show up well in this FBD, then they really go and produce for their clubs. And then at the start of next year, there might be a different path for them in terms of the Galway senior panel.
Is there anyone you've seen, Evelyn, during the weekend that stood out for you that you might have not necessarily knew before the game?
No, again, it was more the highlights reads as I come back. Obviously, I seen Rory Cunningham's finishing for the goals for Galway. And then obviously, you said, is it Anthony O'Leary? Is it number, was he sitting centre forward?
Yeah, number 11, yeah.
Yeah, like he looked a bit of creativity or that. But again, listen, I suppose for me, I would have been focusing a lot more looking at back on the Leitrim players, and Leitrim had a couple of young 18, 19-year-olds as well. So I suppose, their first day out. So I suppose from a Galway point of view, I think for them younger players that are getting their chance now, I think Roscommon is going to be a proper test. Because in fairness, Roscommon have kind of started with a relatively strong 15 in their last two games. So I think that'll be a bigger test for the Galway players. And I'm sure, as Barry says there, lads looking over their shoulders, that'll be a game definitely for them younger lads. Or I suppose maybe they're not even all younger, but they're just, bouncing around that panel for a couple of years trying to get in the door. But it's a good opportunity, as you said. Because Roscommon definitely will be a different kettle of fish and a bigger step up than Leitrim.
It's something we've actually seen Dublin have done this in the O'Brien Cup as well, and playing a development squad and maybe throwing two or three seniors in. Galway have done it. There is a couple of other counties doing it. I think Kildare have one in place as well. Do you reckon this is something we're going to see more and more of as the years go on?
Yeah, this seems to be a common trend. As you said, looking through all the teams this year, different teams have, like Donegal seem to be pushing hard. There was Tyrone then started with a lot, maybe even a lot of newer players coming in. So I suppose, listen, it is the only opportunity, I suppose, that there's a wee bit of pressure on a game to really see what the lads about. Obviously, challenge matches are different, but even though I suppose they are glorified challenge matches, but there is a bigger crowd, there's a wee bit more pressure on it. So I suppose it does give the bigger teams an opportunity to see where players are at. And as you said, listen, looking at Dublin, again, you wouldn't know a lot. Barely looking through the 15, you wouldn't know one. Again, they've unearthed one or two players every year through these kind of games as well, So again, as Barry said, it's going to be very hard to get into a Galway panel at the minute. Jesus Porrickson is his fifth year. Players need these 2, 3 years behind the conditioning programs, tactics, everything. It's not a case that he's a good talent, now throw him in there. The game has just evolved so much, it's just not about that anymore, And I just think it's hats off to them lads. They've been given the commitment to be just pushing the door to get into a panel. I struggled myself when I was there sitting on the bench trying to get a couple of minutes here and there, and the head was gone. Never mind lads that are maybe number 40 in the squad trying to just get near getting on a team bus for a day. You have to hand it to them to give that commitment, because it's a 5, 6 nights a week job, and it's not as easy as it used to be back in the day when myself and Lex Barry would have started out or that. So yeah, listen, it's positive for Galway because them boys are pushing on, and they're pushing to start at 15, and as Barry says, they're looking over their shoulder, and yeah, it's been utilised well by Galway and the bigger counties. It seems to be working well.
Is four or five the most amount of players that we're going to see from this development squad involved with the seniors in the league, Barry?
I think that'll depend on injuries, a lot of it. We know Galway, they're carrying a few at the minute, but I would say, and this is primarily down to where Pádraic Joyce is in terms of his managerial reign in Galway. I would say that if every single, at the moment, if our A panel, if you want to use a bit, if every single one of them were fit, I would say you mightn't see any of the Scotland development panel. Because we know Cillian O'Coryne was there last year.
Daniel O'Flaherty, he's probably going to be
Daniel O'Flaherty, yeah, if he was there last year as well. You might see Anton O'Leary. You're definitely not going to have four. You're not going to see, he's not going to drop four or five guys that he has worked with over the last couple of years and all the time and effort that they've put into that to bring in new guys. This will be very much a case of seeing who really stands out. And, you know, I think it's a piece for Galway football in general rather than just for Pádraic Joyce and his senior panel. I think it'll be whoever will be the next Galway senior manager will then be taking a real fresh look at everything, because he'll be putting his stamp on tactics and systems from the get-go, and that's where he'll be looking at developing a 30, 40 man panel, and that's where these guys will really come into the reckoning. But I think, as I said, if everybody was fit, I'm not sure you'd see many outside of who has featured previously, possibly, and you know, Anthony O'Leary has featured previously, Conor Flaherty's featured previously, Cillian O'Coryne's featured previously, and Daniel Flaherty's featured previously. But one thing I took from the weekend is the volume of talent that's available to Sauchin Lochnacar at the minute. You know, Charlie Power, who's excellent.
Yeah, really good to sign up.
Yeah, and I'll be honest, like, I would have known an awful lot about him. Donald Hunt put in a big shift, Daniel Flaherty, and then, like, Cathal Sweeney, supposed to be flying for the seniors, Rob Finnerty coming back from juniors, John Maher, by all accounts, gone to another level with the seniors. Like, they have talent all over the pitch, and I'm sure I'm leaving out loads of lads.
Just on Conor Flaherty, because he obviously didn't play the game against Leitrim, and we don't know was he involved against me, but Oran Burke definitely didn't put much of a foot wrong, pulled off some tremendous saves, really good with the kickouts when Keane Darcy came in. Like, this competition with the keepers this year, it's going to be interesting, because obviously we've seen a bit of interchange last year with Bernie Power and Conor Gleeson, but now we have Conor Gleeson, Conor Flaherty, Oran Burke, and James Egan's obviously out injured at the moment, but there's real competition there at the moment.
Yeah, huge competition. Conor Gleeson is the man in possession and you know, has come under pressure in the last couple of years, but has all, you know, fairness to him, has, I thought he was really good last year. I thought he was one of Galway's better performers. So he's the man in possession, and they have a trust in him again. You know, they really like the fact that he can go really long with his kickouts. And I think that's probably where Conor Flaherty needs to work, just that distance piece. I think in terms of tactically, I think Conor Flaherty is really good. I think Young Burke, Oran Burke, brilliant, like looking at it Friday night, brilliant, brilliant keeper. But I think he will need to push Bernie Power out of the Curragh Finn spot before he actually gets past him and a Galway senior spot. But brilliant, brilliant to have. And like, hopefully James Egan comes back into the reckoning, because not only the really good goalie, by all accounts, a brilliant guy to have around in the panel. So it's that's always important as well.
Just on it for Leitrim as a whole, Emlyn, disappointment obviously to lose when Galway didn't have a full strength team out, but the league is obviously now their focus. Is it a must to get up from Division 4 this year?
Oh, it is. It's a must every year. Like, there's no question about it. You know, it's a championship. You know, kind of championship, obviously a big deal, but they're being realistic about it, you know, achieving that goal of winning it. And obviously this year, the favourite maybe side to draw, you know, drawn Sligo, so there's obviously that opportunity to progress in the game. But to win a kind of title when you're operating against the likes of Mayo, Galway and Roscommon, it's very hard. You know, they're one-off victories every 20 years. And then Tailteann Cup again, even at that, it's there's still a big gap between the top teams in Division 3 that are playing against, you know, Division 4 teams in the Tailteann Cup. So yeah, league is your number one priority. And I think it's Andy's third year. We were kick a ball away from it last year against Sligo, you know, and we've seen how the table's turned within the space of a couple of minutes, to go and winning that, to get promoted, to losing it 2 weeks later, being bet by New York, you know. So it's a game of inches, it's margins. But I think for Leitrim as a, you know, for supporters and everything, like, the league is their go-to. It'll be in Andy's mind, you know, and Mickey Graham's after coming in there now. So just that added pressure as well this year too, bringing in the likes of themselves. So it's a must. to be honest. And it's, you know, it's going to be scrapped down there. It's very hard to get out of Division Four. You know, you have Tipperary there, Longford, you know, Laois, Wexford. You know, they're all teams at the same level. Every team, I suppose, this is the best thing is every team has a belief that they can beat each other on any given day. But, you know, a lot of it comes down to home and away fixtures and the luck of the draw as well. But I think if Leitrim will come out of Division Four this year, you know, just puts a lot of pressure even on the management and that.
Can I ask Evelyn, just on a from your own point of view for Leitrim, do you think we need another competition? Like even the Tarleton Cup is becoming really
Yeah,
competitive.
well, I've always said, I think the championship should be three tiered. I think likes of Down, Meath, Cavan last year, they're still operating at a totally different level than Leitrim. You know what I mean? Like, and I all like, listen, it's more than club, senior, intermediate, junior. I think that structurally is the way, like, even you see it in the National League, the four divisions work best because that's the level you're playing at, you know. And I think split it into one, obviously, having Sam Maguire was a waste of time, splitting it into two. There's still a major gap. There's kind of teams in between, you know yourself. There's a top five or six potentially that can win it, but then there's another 15, 16 teams that aren't capable of winning it, but are too good probably for a Tarleton Cup, you know. So I've always said that I always reckon that there's definitely room there for a three-tier competition, and whether it's senior, intermediate, junior. Like, listen, you seen junior club yesterday, you seen Arva win it. At the end of the day, people say club counties won't buy into it, but after a couple of years, you bring in these sort of things, you see what it means to no matter what level you're playing at. It's about winning on the biggest day in Croke Park, and everybody just wants that opportunity.
Yeah, and teams, supporters just want to go to support teams. It doesn't matter who they're playing, that get to the latter stages. Like you saw, what year did you get to the league final? And like there was an absolute huge
Oh,
Leitrim
like if it was,
crowd in Croke
if, you know,
Park.
people
It
find
was
in,
basically like
people
an All
find
Ireland
in,
final.
yeah, people find in from all over the world for it, you know, and because them days are so seldom and few far between that obviously you make the most of it. But as you said there, the opportunity to get there is the only opportunity for us to get there is the league final, you know, and Division Four is there. That hence it's our championship, it's Leitrim's championship. And I suppose it kind of there's so much energy put into it, and I think that was half the downfall last year when it was taken away out of our, obviously, when we didn't get promoted against Sligo last year. I think it was a 2 week turnaround to New York, and I just think the bodies were just everything was drained out of them because everything had been put into the league. It's not an excuse either, but just to answer the question, it's a must. It's every year trying to get out of Division Four.
That's the thing, isn't it, Emden? Last year, it was obviously you were on COCOM last year over in New York, and it was probably a very uncomfortable situation for you when you're involved with so many of those players. And then there was a bit of abuse with some on Leitrim social media channels directed. Is that why, just for like the management and the players, there just needs to be some sort of progression this year for this group?
Oh, 100%. Like, you know, listen, at the end of the day, that New York defeat, like, it has to go down as probably one of the worst defeats in the history of the county. You know, unfortunately, listen, it just the way it panned out. And yeah, you hate to see any players getting negative abuse from it. But you know, I suppose you have to take some responsibility. But some of the stuff being said about individuals and that, like, as we know ourselves, and Barry knows what the effort players are putting in on a weekly, daily basis. It just didn't happen from over there. And listen, it was inevitable it was going to happen someday, but you just didn't want to be the team. But yeah, bouncing back this year, the fresh slate, a lot of them boys are back at it again. So just to put the thing straight and get the support of people back again, I suppose it is vitally important to have a reasonable good campaign, and as you said, hopefully get promoted out of Division Four.
I think just I don't know, I'm cutting across. I think they were a bit, well, first of all, in terms of the social media abuse, Paul, like you mightn't have seen it, Emlyn, but I did a power rankings for Paul at start here and I got slated online as well. So I know what the player, I can empathize with the Leitrim players, but I think the Leitrim management and players, I think were harsh enough treated because like to go from what they had to go through that league, the emotional side of the Sligo game, and then try to get back down, travel to New, like you've even heard James Horan talk, and I've been there a few times. It's really difficult to fly to New York, and this is no disrespect. Like Leitrim aren't one of the bigger teams. They knew, everyone knows that New York targets probably Sligo and Leitrim as their
Yeah,
two
100%.
real opportunities. They had to fly to New York, try and prepare for a game 2 weeks after what was probably the most important game of their year. Like even mentally, Leitrim knew that if they got over New York, they still weren't going to win the Connacht Championship, where the Sligo game, they had to put everything into it. And I personally think that that there was a little bit of an overreaction in terms of that defeat, and I would say that some of the performances in the Tailteann Cup were maybe a little bit worse than that
one. Yeah, no, I agree. It wasn't a shock, to be honest, going over. Like, there was definitely that fear, and as you said, the energy. Like, we finished up there less than the Sunday against Sligo. You know, boys were going out for a few pints last game in the league. They probably didn't get a right training session to Wednesday or Thursday, the weekend, and then you're flying out to flew out to Wednesday or Thursday, and then again to New York the following week. Like, you know, I've been over there, I've done it 3 times before that as well, and you're sitting in a hotel lobby 2 or 3 days hanging around until the Saturday evening, then of the game. And even the way the game had changed this year to a Saturday, you know, Saturday evening, I just thought, you know, in comparison to a Sunday afternoon, it's a longer day hanging around with your teammates, lobby. You know, it's mentally draining. And as you said, the energy was sucked out of them. But listen, they had opportunities to win that game, but it wasn't, as you said, it wasn't a major shock. And, you know, the previous 5 years before that, we'd been over, went extra time as well, you know. So it wasn't, it's just, listen, nobody wanted to be on the end of that. You know, Roscommon have come close over there. A couple of teams have come close over the years, but it was always going to happen. But as you said, yeah, listen, but nowadays, you know yourself on Twitter and social media and these things. It's just very easy for any fella just to come on and just saying how he feels as Bird Moore with no repercussions in that. And unfortunately, players do read it, and you know, and people think it doesn't affect players, but unfortunately it does. And you know, the local media then in Leitrim didn't really probably help either. Local paper publishing it, putting out quotes, and you know, they're only egging it on a bit more and giving it more kind of, I suppose, value in terms of what they're saying. But yeah, I agree with you. I think they didn't deserve it either, but no matter what you say, people will still always look back and it and just, you know, beat them for the first team. I think that's just that'll be the hardest part to take. Hopefully they can put that behind them now and just push on this year.
Barry, just on a couple of go absentees that aren't going to be involved this year. It looks like the James McLaughlin isn't going to be involved at all. Just he's going on Erasmus, and it doesn't look like he's going to be part of the Galway panel this year, unless he comes back now. But the plan with Keane Hernan is that he's going to come back after he comes back from an Erasmus from America. And then Peter Cook, there's still a lot of uncertainty there. There are definitely three players, ideally, you would like to have involved.
Yeah, and Ian Burke obviously won't be involved either. Yeah, big losses. I think if you're to rank them in terms of their, yeah, like, no, I'm not good at that, but like, I think there, lots of them are replaceable. I think Keane Hernan showed really good form last year, maybe against Armagh, struggled a little bit. James McLaughlin, yeah, a loss, but like, he hasn't played championship with Galway, so I don't think that's irreplaceable. Ian Burke did really well against Roscommon, but after that, I thought games passed him by a little bit, so I think we're okay there. But I think the loss of Peter Cook is a huge loss. And I think he has developed. I was lucky enough to be involved with the Galway 21s in 2017 when he was playing. We got to an All-Ireland final, and he was shown real form then, and maybe lacked a little bit of confidence, maybe a little bit of maturity. But that has all come in spades, and he was excellent for Mike Cullen all year. I was excellent for Galway last year, and I think what he brings in terms of his work rate around the middle of the pitch and the energy he brings, his tackle count is through the roof. Reminds me a little bit of Aidan O'Shea in that when he gets close contact with you, invariably he strips the ball, really good tackler. So I think he's a big, big loss. But you have to have huge respect for the fella and what he's doing, and you know, looking after his career, looking after making his own lifestyle choices and kind of not just hanging around for the sake of it. And, you know, you'd wish him the very best of luck. But I think we've loads of talent coming through. It gives great opportunities to other fellas. But I would say that they will miss Peter Cook, and they'd probably be hoping that they would have hoped that they would have seen more of him this year.
Yeah, it's just hard to know what's happening. Sean Kelly was up for press and he was talking and he said he didn't even know. So the signs there that there is a bit of uncertainty. But Keane Darcy came back there at obviously played that game against Leitrim. Just on this, Emlyn, because you obviously played club football in Dublin for a while. Keane Darcy made the move last year to Ballyboden. He's probably not a player now you're too overly aware of. He was involved with Galway a while ago, but he took a break and now he's back in the panel. But can that help a footballer? Because he looks like he's went on in other levels since playing with Ballyboden for a year.
Yeah, well, I suppose I can't speak in his behalf playing Galway. What Galway club football, I suppose, this is strong in itself. Like I would have moved from Leitrim Club. We won the county championship in 2012. I moved in 13, and I suppose my best years for Leitrim probably as captain, it was 13, 14, around that 13, 14, 15 when I was playing St Bridges in Dublin. And for me personally, to jump from Leitrim Club football up to Dublin Club football was a massive gap, like in terms of the quality, the standard. So obviously, it rose my game to a different level. It was very much like playing county football every week. So like for me personally, yeah, it was a huge transition, but a very positive one in terms of me all around game. Every league game we went out every weekend, it felt like an inter-county game. The standard was definitely Division 3 or Division 4, as high as that standard every week. So I couldn't speak on behalf of a lad from Galway coming up there, because I know there is a lot of good club teams. Listen, you've a lot of teams there over a number of years. As you said, like Colin Carra Finn, and then you're just naming the likes of Salt Hill, their players different that. So the standard would be quite high there. So I'm not sure what the difference in jump level would be. But listen, maybe it's just refresh his own mind. Sometimes it's just nice to get away. I enjoyed, I'm playing a different club again now here in Sligo and living out for the last 3 or 4 years. And just for me, sometimes I lost a lot of faith in football in different times, and just the freshness, gave me a fresh mind, and it got me back enjoying football. Maybe sometimes, maybe for a lad like that, it might be just a new start for him, and it's given him that freshness again. But in terms of the quality of it, the championship is very good up there. Obviously, every team is competitive. I think that's across the board, and a lot of teams up there are capable of winning it. So yeah, listen, if it's improving his football, that's a big goal for him, just getting him back in the frame for Galway. But for myself, there's another lad there from Leitrim who played there against Galway tonight, Dara Rooney. He's playing in corner forward there. He's playing St Jude's.
Yeah.
Again, in the last 2 years, it's improved his game immensely since he left. He was my club as well here in Leitrim as well. Since he left, he's just transformed into a different player in the last 2 years as well. So there obviously is a lot of benefits to it.
You think it's progressed on Barry?
Yeah, like in fairness to Shane Walsh, his form, although maybe slightly over exaggerated by the media, has been really, really good for Kilmacud Crokes as well. And it's a freshness thing, I think, as well, isn't it, Emily? Like, you come out of that, like Keane's from Carlow Strand, they eat, breathe, sleep football down there. He was immersed in it. He was their big talent, big personality, big player. He goes to Dublin and it just kind of freshens things up. He's not constantly, football isn't the be all and end all of it, and it revives him and refreshes him, and he has a good run of club championship, and then it's a confidence thing, and you'll be hoping that he brings that back to Galway. Like, you might know Keane Nemlin, but he's about 6'5", 6'6". He's mobile, he's brilliant in the air, good kick passer, and with the Like with teams looking to go along that little bit more, he could certainly be a string to Galway's bow in terms of his fielding ability around the middle of the pitch, and they could work a lot off that. But yeah, like I'm not going to advocate for everyone move. Sorry, I've toys and kids' toys and everything going off here in the background. I have a child roaring upstairs. I hope her mother hears her. Yeah, it's I'm not advocating for every club footballer in the country to move to Dublin, but for those that have, it's just a different environment. And like, I'm not sure what Keane's career choice is, but he's meeting different people in work, broadening his horizons, and maybe just a little bit of maturity, and he's enjoying his football a little bit more, and more power to the lad, and it's great to see him back.
Yeah, I just think Barry cut across. Yeah, I think the freshness is the biggest thing. And I found you're going into a completely new environment. And you want to, like, when the kid come back, like, you're nearly on trial again. You're trying to prove your worth. And they hear, like, obviously, like, he come from Galway, but he still has to prove it on the pitch to them lads around him, And I think it gives you that extra bit of buzz and just that extra bit of energy to, because, listen, I know it's not to say just go and stale at home or different things, but there's a lot more pressure than probably him back at his home club and different things. But you go up there, you kind of just, you just, you know, you swan in there, you filter in. And as you said, while it's as serious as it is, there's a lot more escape up there, I think. And it's they're not as, I suppose, community maybe based as the local parish here than down the country or that. And you're kind of, you come to training, you can leave and, see it the games again. But yeah, listen, it's great to hear lads that go up there to do well. But I'm sure there's a lot of stories of lads that go up there and just doesn't work out either. But By from listening to you about him, he sounds like he'll be a good addition, hopefully, for you this year.
You expect to see Cian D'Arcy involved in the league anyways, Bear?
Yeah, absolutely. And again, like I know we mentioned the development panel and guys coming through, if that Keane has been there before, so technically not new to the intercounty setup. So I would certainly see himself and Paul Conroy lining out 8 and 9 for Galway. John Maher, whatever, that kind of I think Dylan McHugh has been looked at in midfield in a couple of games. So plenty of options, and you need them because certain games aren't going to go for guys, and you're going to have to get guys in. And the injury profile hasn't been great over the last year, so we'll need plenty of people to step up.
And I'm just interested to get your own view. Last year, obviously, there was a lot of expectation in the county. Galway were all Ireland favourites at one stage. There is a lot of people that are already tipping them to go on this year and do it. But where do you see them now at the start of 2024?
Yeah, like I would have been one of those. Listen, obviously, being close enough to Galway was part of it. You'd always, with Connacht teams, you'd always be keeping an eye on, especially when you get to the latter stages where it had been Mayo over the last number of years, and now Galway have kind of taken over that maybe threshold. Like the potential is there, obviously. And like listening to the two of you there talking on about players, like it's not that you're short of footballers. I was gonna wonder for any of their grandparents off and meet them or something to send a few of them up, because there'll be plenty of room for them up here. But yeah, listen, like the talent is there, isn't it? And I suppose it's just to getting that balance right. And it's the more than getting Damien Comer and Shane Walsh to perform together at the biggest stage at 100%. It seems to be always one performs better than the other on any given day, but you get the two of them going. But yeah, the talent is there. But I think at the minute, All Ireland, it just seems to be very open to a lot of teams. I think obviously if you're Dublin and Kerry, Galway are coming knocking the door, like Derry are still going to be there. Like Tyrone, Donegal, there's still a lot of teams there that can take scalps of each other, Armagh, and I suppose these are the games that Galway obviously have to prove themselves in, but they're probably still not, they're not far off. I think it's fair to say, whether the league, how they approach the league, I suppose it's not the be end all either. But to have the quality there's no question. And as you said, if you get two or three lads coming in there to freshen things up again this year, they're definitely, and I think the one thing to call have is players coming through and have experience of winning, whether it be minors, under 20s, or of competitions like that over the years. So, to have everything going in their favour, the management team settled there the last number of years, with obviously Keane O'Neill in there as well. So yeah, listen, I think they're definitely up there in the top three or four, anyway, without question. Whether they make the breakthrough, we'll just have to wait and see.
You mentioned there is to make the breakthrough. What needs to happen for them to make the breakthrough?
Well, listen, again, it's a lot of it comes down to luck too. It's getting the rubber green in some games. Like we've seen games over the years, whether it be Kerry, Dublin, to come down to single points, like to get themselves, I think for Galway, just get themselves to that stage of a semi-final first and foremost. I think don't start focusing on winning it. Get themselves into a position that they can put themselves there to get into a final first and foremost. I think you have to take one step at a time. Obviously, they got to the final in the last number of years and fell short to Kerry or that. But I just think it's getting back to that semi-final stage again, and getting yourselves into that position to give yourself every opportunity. And again, listen, there's loads of luck along the way with injuries. You lose a good player, you lose like Shane Watts or something like that, your whole season can turn on the side, So you need that run of luck as well. Keep yourself injury free. But I definitely think to have the firepower, the defensive setup, to have everything there, the potential to win it. But keeping the likes of Cook there would be a vitally important cog in the wheel, I think myself. Having watched him over the last number of years, he'd be a huge loss. But obviously there's plenty there if you can earn one or two more lads.
Where did we need to improve most this year for you, Barry?
Geez, I don't know. Like up to the last couple of minutes against Armagh, it was all going according to plan. So I think we have to look at that, and the Mayo performance, first half good. Second half just couldn't get to grips with it. I think and this isn't an excuse, but like in fairness, our injury last, like the loss of Dylan McHugh, like against Mayo, Sean Kelly was on one leg, no Dylan McHugh. Like there was loads more missing. I can't think of it off the top of my head, but like we were really under the cosh. I think if we can get that right, I think we're if we have a full 15, I think we're in with a real shot. Obviously need to get Shane's form, find some kind of a system that allows him express himself. He needs to be more clinical with his frees. And I don't think we're too far away. I think, just the injuries, if we can get that right, because we didn't really have a huge depth to our panel after we lost like a load of guys, like Nolene Silk, no Dylan McHugh, no Kieran Malloy, basically no Sean Kelly. Like, that's four of the backs that started the All-Ireland the previous year. So, from that we were under pressure, and then some of the guys up top failed to find a bit of form. So I think if we can get a position for Matthew Tierney, personally I would look at him out around the middle of the pitch. I think he could be more involved there. When we didn't have Shane in the league, I thought Matthew Tierney was excellent at times, but kind of came and obviously was excellent against Sligo and stuff like that. But at times, times he was a little bit anonymous. So I think if we,
Oh, you just unmute there, Rick.
sorry, I moved myself. I think if we can get Matthew Tierney a little bit more involved in games and find a position where he's a little bit more dominant, I think that will go a long way. But overall, like, we seem to be very well set. If we can get Sean Kelly back, he's so important to us. We seem to be well set for a crack at it. But there's also has to be a bit of a realism here in that we're in our fifth year. Yeah, we did really well, got to an All-Ireland final 2 years ago, but the first 2 years weren't great, and last year wasn't great. So I think, it's a bit of pressure on, and they'll be getting the players right up first, and that the National League is going to be important, and to get a road run at the championship.
Just to bring you both in here, there's going to be a debate because Sean McKern's back now from injury. A lot of people see him as go as traditional fullback and to be planted on the edge of the square at number three. Is now the time to relocate Sean Kelly further up the pitch, or what would both of you do there, whichever one of you wants to jump in first?
I'll just jump in first because obviously Barry will have a bigger say in terms of that. I just know from watching him, listen to him, he seems to be a great man coming into that position half, and coming off the shoulder, breaking the line. He seems to be a brilliant man to create goal chances now, whether that's his club or even a college. I watched him there for NUI, he was last year playing around the midfield role. Like he just it was the way teams have set up now defensively. He seems to be a brilliant man at taking on the, I suppose, the defence is just breaking that line, which is hugely important to make that link. But you'd obviously see him more as a defender and have a better insight to that. But I suppose if you have someone that can equally do as much and has benefited defend as well as him in the full back line, I'm sure he'd be a massive addition. Find him somewhere, push him up the pitch, but whether it'd be somewhere for him to filter in or what, where would you put him would be the biggest question, I suppose. But yeah, a huge asset going forward.
Where would you play him, Emlyn?
It's very hard to know because you're naming players there, it's you're talking. Who do you sacrifice around your midfield, your forwards? Like, do you play him at six? Do you play him wing back? It's. Yeah, I'd be in the wrong. I wouldn't be the right man to be able to say where to play him. Obviously that fullback role, he does a good job there. And if he keeps maybe bringing that element of putting the 14 on the back foot, and bringing him up the other end of the pitch, that can work obviously also. But probably I suppose the fact of all is you do have so much quality around the pitch. That it might be a position that you'd be just able to change just like that, but just that obviously if McCarron come in there full back and do it equally his job, have you somewhere else that you need to sacrifice it for up the pitch? I'm not sure.
Would you keep him in the full back line, Barry, or?
Yeah, like Sean McKern's obviously is a natural full back and has played there a lot. Kind of resembles a little bit of the conversation that went on for years about Daithí Burke and maybe we should move him. But like, full back is such an important position, and when you have someone as good as he is, managements are going to be very slow to move him. I might move him, and this sounds like a funny one, I might move him from full back to cornerback. And it might be a situation where, if we're playing, hypothetically, we're playing a team where we know they're going to keep two up top. If it's an Armand and Rhian O'Neill is there and he's going to play an orthodox full forward position, that we don't occupy Sean Kelly with that role, but that he can pick up a corner forward and do an equally good as job defensively on that corner forward. But it gives him a little bit more license up the pitch, and if he goes, we mightn't get as exposed at the back. But I think what he he just causes teams such problems as this strike runner, where he's coming late and coming very fast. And what he does defensively, I'd be reluctant to take him out of that full back line. But again, we're not no more than Emlyn. I'm not in Loch George Tuesday, Thursday, at the weekend, and I don't see what he's doing if they are going to push him out the pitch. But I think first and foremost, we got to get that ankle right and get him back on the pitch wherever we play him.
Yeah, I think this debate is going to happen all year, really, but just the threats Sean Kelly poses. Just before we finish, the Galway development squad, they're obviously going to play the final that was revealed by Jeremy Blake and Poor Choice after the victory over Leitrim. No disrespect to Leitrim here, Emlyn, but Roscommon are going to be pretty strong. You mentioned it, they've been going pretty strong. This Friday, I get the sense we're going to learn a lot about a lot of these players against a fairly strong Roscommon team. Like, apart from, they're obviously missing the Bridgets lads, but apart from that, they've looked pretty strong in most games.
Yeah, like, if we starting, you know, like, a lot of names there, like Conor Cox, Jaron Murta, Enda Smith, the Lennon lads back. You know, there's a couple of names there that obviously they've been around the block a long time for Roscommon. So, now again, the other side of it is, I suppose, what next weekend? Drew, is it a week out from the National League then? Or is it 2 weeks?
Well, it's the game's Friday, and then the league starting on Sunday week. So, yeah.
Yeah, so listen, another side of management are going to be looking at that. You know, once this was Roscommon's third time then on an AstroTurf pitch again in the Dome. And, listen, they don't want to be picking up niggles and that. But you'd imagine, I suppose, listen, if Roscommon go with that strength of a team, you'd be nearly looking at it. You'd imagine they would be, you know, winning that game. But again, it's a great opportunity for the Galway lads. Like, you know, they've absolutely nothing to lose. And I'm sure they're going to bring a lot of confidence. Whether it be only Leitrim to bet, I'm not saying that in any disrespectful way, but it's just going to bring them on again, having played together again in a competitive game to go into another game. But I don't think it's to be end and end all for Poor Choice, whether they win that or lose that. It's, at the end of the day, it's about development. And it's about trying to unearth one player, as maybe Barry said, to progress into the senior panel, or the senior squad that may help in some way to, as you said, bring Sam back. But yeah, that's all you can ask for. Whether it means anything to them lads to win it, you know, that's up to them individually. But I think in terms of getting a good game against a strong Roscommon team, it can only benefit them.
In saying that, Barry, like, if they put their hand up again against a strong Roscommon team, it definitely will raise eyebrows.
Yeah, it will, but we don't know who's putting what hands up in the meet game or whatever other challenge games they're playing. And or if they're playing AVBs and these guys are involved. So, yeah, absolutely. But they don't, and Emlyn and all this, they don't take, you know, a panel or someone's dropping someone or bringing someone in. They don't just take it on one or two games. Like, someone has to show a bit of form consecutively, and that's what they'll be looking at. But they will be looking at, particularly guys that maybe, you know, they'll come up against a seasoned defender. So they might look at someone, just hypothetically, midfielder goes and has a real game, but maybe he was on someone that hasn't shown a huge amount of form for Roscommon previously, whereas you have a corner forward that goes really well against a seasoned corner back, then they're looking going, this guy can perform, and then can he perform in the system that we want to play? So there's so many variables in who they're going to bring in or why they're going to bring in. They won't just take it on the performances against the Roscommons, but like it will certainly help if someone puts their hand up and says, yeah, I performed every time you asked me to. Now I want to cut it. I cut it at a higher level. But you also have to respect the guys that are there and holding the jerseys at the minute.
Yeah, so that's Galway and Roscommon in the FPD League final Friday evening, 7:30, live on TG Cahir. The last game, obviously, before the National League gets underway. So, silverware up for grabs early on in the year this Friday. Just before we finish, Emlyn, who was your toughest Galway opponent?
Toughest Galway opponent. Back in the day, I suppose it was, I would just say Garrett Bradshaw. I would have picked him up. And the two of us would have been relevant, I suppose, similar enough in age. But he was there. But again, as I never had the opportunity to play in Galway too many in competitive games through FPD, and that was always different. But I just remember the championship game in 2008, Martin in the second half. And it was just a good proper battle. And it was good man. It was man on man football back then. There was no sweepers, no defense, no mass defenses. So every defender had to stand up for himself back then. So yeah, it was. I give Garrett Bradshaw a nod back then. Only that he's only fair to get him out. But I would have crossed paths with a couple of them playing for Connacht in different interventions like that. And obviously, there were a bump shoulder with Finian Hanley and boys like that too. But even there was one of the meetings back then. But yeah, listen, there's an abundance of great call of players over the years. It'd be hard to go into them all individually.
Well, that's all we do have time for on today's show. Thanks a million to Barry and Emlyn for coming up.
Thanks for having me.